Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Spirit of Prophecy podcast. I'm excited about another episode today, talking about some future events that we are waiting for that I believe are still yet to come. We're going to look at some Old Testament prophecies that have not yet been fulfilled and ones that I am fully expecting to be fulfilled. And we are specifically going to be focusing on ones that give very specific geographic descriptions of where these things are going to take place. These are prophecies. Most of them you will be familiar with. There might be a few that you're not super familiar with, but some of these are very talked about prophecies where the Bible does also tell us where these things are going to take place. And so last week I had a program talking about the, I was responding to arguments against the true location of the temple, and we just kind of nerded out on that subject. And I know that is not a subject that's interesting to everyone, but it is interesting to me. So what I'm going to do today on this particular episode, I'm going to give further evidence for what I believe about the true location of the temple, but I'm also going to teach you something that will be helpful, beneficial when it comes to prophecy, something that you will be interested in too. And we're going to look at some prophecies. We're going to connect some things. And then we are going to show you the locations for where these things are going to happen. And it's so interesting when you see the description the Bible gives. And then you go and you look at these things on a map. I've got some videos that I took when I was over in Israel. All stuff that I had studied out before. And I cannot tell you how excited I was to actually go over there and walk through some of these areas where I've been studying, and I believe certain prophecies are going to take place in the future. It was absolutely thrilling to me to do this. And so I do want to share some of that with you today. So again, if you're not interested in the geography stuff, you're still going to want this because you're going to learn about some future prophecy that's still to come. We're going to connect prophecies from Zechariah and from Ezekiel and from Jeremiah that are all yet to come, and we're going to see how these things all kind of intersect with each other, and they just happen to center around the Temple Mount area. And so the first thing we are going to do is we are going to familiarize you with one place in the Bible. We're going to look at some scriptures on a place called the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. And now, if you've read your Bible for any length of time, you are familiar with that term, the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. However, most people, when they read about that, they do not have an image in their mind of where that place is because it's not one of the more popular places. However, if you go to Israel today, there is a place that they will tell you is the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. And I believe they're right. It fits the description that we see in the Bible. The problem is, okay, the same crowd who will scoff at you for not listening to the archaeologists and what they say about the Temple Mount, okay, what they don't understand is those same archaeologists will tell us this one area is, in fact, the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. But the thing is, if they're right, and I believe they are, then that creates a very big problem for what they are saying about the Temple Mount location. Now, most people are not going to know which questions to ask. And when we went over to Israel this last time, it was very enjoyable asking some of these people these questions that you're not supposed to ask, because you'll find out that they conflict with each other greatly, but most people are not putting these things together. But we have. And so I'm going to show you this, and I want you to pay attention. If you're somebody who ever goes to Israel, ask these questions and watch what happens. And another thing too, and I talked to some people about this over there, if you are going to be a guide over there, if you're going to work in one of these locations, okay, these people, while they dress up like archaeologists and they look like Indiana Jones and things like that, these people, literally, they never discovered anything. They go to school, they go take classes on, you know, giving tours in these places, and they are told what to say and they're licensed. If they were to say things different than what they are told to say, they will get fired. They will lose their license. And so when you ask them these questions, it's interesting to watch their faces because it's like they know. A lot of these people, they do know. They've been doing this long enough. However, they're not going to acknowledge these things to you because they will. They will lose their job. So first thing I want to do, let's go to the Bible first and familiarize ourselves with this Valley of the Son of Hinnom. And then we will go and look at where all the experts say the Valley of the Son of Hinnom is. And they've given us no reason to doubt them unless they are right about the traditional location of the Temple Mount, which they're not. But let me just read a few scriptures to you. So in Joshua 15:8, this is the first time we see it mentioned. It said, "And the border went up by the valley of the son of Hinnom unto the south side of the Jebusite, the same as Jerusalem. And the border went up to the top of the mountain that lieth before the valley of Hinnom westward, which is at the end of the valley of the giants northward." And see, when you read a verse like that, you don't have an image in your mind. And I get that. I understand that. I don't expect you to have an image in your mind, but it is pretty fascinating when you do get an image in your mind. You know, after you go over there and you visit these places, all of a sudden it's like, man, this makes sense. And I'm not going to show this to you on the map yet. I do want to read a few more scriptures to you. I want to make sure we let the Bible kind of put some things in our mind first. So one thing that we do know about Jerusalem, it was originally the Jebusite territory. It was known as Jebus because it was the Jebusites' land. And the Valley of the Son of Hinnom is something that is in that area of the Jebusite area. So we see that mentioned there in Joshua. Now let's go and look at another passage in Joshua 18 and verse 16. Notice what it says. "And the border came down to the end of the mountain that lieth before the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is in the valley of the giants on the north, and descended to the valley of Hinnom to the side of Jebusi on the south, and descended to Enrogel." So the valley of the son of Hinnom, the valley of giants in 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 6, it says, "And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people." So he brought the grove out of the house of the Lord without Jerusalem, outside Jerusalem, unto the brook Kidron. So we see that this brook Kidron, or you might have heard of the Kidron Valley, is something that was considered outside of Jerusalem, and it would be something that would be at the bottom of the valley. Okay, and notice that they brought it there when they brought it out of the house of the Lord. And then it says, "And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah, and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba, and break down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city." So notice again, we're talking about the house of the Lord. We're talking about something that's right outside the house of the Lord. In the valley of the son of Hinnom, we've got the brook Kidron there that is all being mentioned. We had Sodomites in that area. And this area, this valley of the son of Hinnom, is where all kinds of just terrible abominations took place in Israel's history. I mean, some of the worst things happened. That's where they offered their children and sacrifice. Let's go ahead and look at some more scriptures on this. Notice what it says in 2 Chronicles 28 and verse 3 says, "Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burnt his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel." So again, just the worst sins being committed in this area right outside the house of the Lord. In chapter 33 verse 6, and it says, "And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also, he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit and with the wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. So again, I think everybody would agree the valley of the son of Hinnom, according to the Bible. Okay, right now we're just looking at Bible. We are not connecting it with archaeology yet. We're just looking at Bible. But in the Bible, we see this valley of the son of Hinnom was where some of the worst abominations were committed, where they would offer their children to false gods. We see it was something that was outside the house of the Lord around the brook Kidron. Okay, it was without the gate. It was without Jerusalem. So we're seeing all of these things about it. Now, here is the key verse. Now, I referenced this one the other day, but look at what it says in Jeremiah right here. This is something that people who want to deny what we are promoting are going to have to figure out how to get around. Okay. And it says, verse 30, "For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to pollute it. And they have built the high place of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter, for they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place, and the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them away. Then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate." Now, when you look at that passage right there, doesn't it kind of make your brain go to the future, go to the book of Revelation, to the battle of the great day of God Almighty? We've got the fowls eating the flesh. We've got this valley of slaughter. And I'm going to show you that I believe that the Jeremiah 7, while of course it had, it had reference to that day when the Babylonians came through. But understand, I believe the ultimate fulfillment of it is going to be in the future in Revelation chapter 19. I'm going to show more evidence of that in a little bit. But all that is in the valley of the son of Hinnom. It is referred to as the valley of slaughter. Okay, now, in Jeremiah chapter 19, let's go over there. I want you to notice what it says. This is very important. But it says, "Thus saith the Lord, go and get thee a potter's earthen bottle, and take of the ancients of the people of the priests, and go forth into the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee." Now, pay attention to verse 2. Underline that in your Bible. Okay, down to verse 5, it says, "They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, the valley of the son of Hinnom, or nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter." So, folks, right there, that, okay, and again, me telling you where I believe the valley of the son of Hinnom is today does not prove anything, okay? That's archaeology. But according to the Bible, the valley of the son of Hinnom was outside the entry of the east gate. Okay, now, if you go to Jerusalem today, they have a place that they will tell you is the Eastern Gate. In fact, there's a gate there that's all sealed off that people will tell you is the Eastern Gate. They also over in Jerusalem have the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, where everybody agrees this is the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. Here's the problem. It's nowhere near the Eastern Gate. It's not even close. So one of those places is wrong. Okay. One of those they cannot both be right. According to the Bible, according to Jeremiah, the valley of the son of Hinnom was right outside the entry of the Eastern Gate, which fits everything else we've been reading about the valley of the son of Hinnom in other places in the Bible, specifically too, if you have the right image of your mind of where Jebus was, okay? And so, but Jeremiah 19, right there, that is absolutely huge. I'm not going to show it to you on the screen, but Jeremiah 32:35 says, and they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. So I want you to think about that valley of the son of Hinnom. It is the place where the worst abominations that Israel committed took place, in that valley that was just outside the entry of the Eastern Gate. And think about how horrible that was. You've got the house of the Lord there that represents the holiness of God, where the sacrifices of God are being made, where the priests of God go in and do offerings to the Lord. And Israel, during certain times, not far from the house of God, within the sight of the house of God, they are committing these horrible abominations that would be horrible to do anywhere. But to do these things in the presence of the house of the Lord just makes it that much worse. And you can see why God was so upset with Israel. And so God said that this valley is going to be called the Valley of Slaughter. There is going to be a great massacre that is going to take place. And here's the thing, while you can see a lot of examples of battles that were fought all over Israel, we don't really see any examples historically, not even in 70 AD, of just like this massive slaughter taking place within that area. We don't see that. So I believe that that prophecy is still something that is to be fulfilled. And so now what I want us to do, I want us to start connecting some prophecies, okay? And that, because they all kind of intersect with certain places. So we're now familiar with the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. We know it's outside the entry of the Eastern Gate, okay? And so we're still sticking with Bible right now. This is going to be a place that's going to be known as the Valley of Slaughter. Now, let's look at some other prophecies in the Bible, and let's start making some connections. Now, in Joel chapter 3 and verse 12, this is another prophecy that I think you all are going to be pretty familiar with. It's in Joel chapter 3 and verse 12. I want to get it up on the screen, and I do need to cover some prophecies in Joel that people misunderstand. But it says, let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people, the strength of the children of Israel. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. So right here we have a prophecy about the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Now, when you think about the Valley of Jehoshaphat, it mentions a wine press. It mentions multitudes, multitudes in the Valley of Decision. It mentions Mount Zion, talks about Jesus Christ is going to reign from Mount Zion. We know that from prophecy. So again, you know, I want you to pay very close attention, because what we're going to do in a little bit, we're going to start pointing out locations. We're going to start making connections. And man, you're just going to see how when you have certain geography understood, everything makes sense. And so it is. It's real fascinating. He said in verse 17, so shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. Now, to try to not connect Joel 3 to Revelation 14 is unbelievable. I don't know that anybody would try to do this, but Revelation 14:14 says, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat in the cloud thrust in his sickle to the earth, and the earth was reaped, And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven. He also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power of fire, and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city. What city? Jerusalem. And blood came out of the winepress, even under the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Now, what blew my mind, I figured this out several years ago. I've always done these nerdy geography things. Years ago, after we first started our church, I was doing slideshows talking about some of these events. And I remember I wanted to talk about this event that I thought happened at the valley, the Megiddo Valley, because that's what I was told when I had went to Israel back in 2000. So I just assumed the Valley of Jehoshaphat and the Megiddo Valley were the same thing. I go online, I Google Valley of Jehoshaphat, and I see, oh, wait a minute, that's outside Jerusalem. That's not in the Megiddo Valley. And people do, they mistakenly connect Revelation 14, where the blood flows to the horses' bridles, to the armies gathering together preparing for the battle of the great day of God Almighty in Revelation. And they think that the blood's going to flow to the horses' bridles there. And if you go to the Megiddo Valley, it is a massive valley. I mean, it is huge. And they will tell you the blood's going to flow to the horses' bridles then. And people are like, that doesn't even make sense. And of course, I mean, the Bible says what it says. If that were in fact the place, and if that's not symbolic, I'd believe it. But at the same time, that's not the spot. Okay. Revelation 14, for sure, everybody connects that in their prophecy preaching to Joel 3. But in Joel 3, it says that happens at the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And there's nothing in the Bible to indicate that happens at Megiddo. No, it happens without the city, of Jerusalem, which is what's being prophesied about. The Valley of Jehoshaphat is outside the city of Jerusalem. And guess what? They have a place in Jerusalem that everybody agrees is the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Okay? And I agree with them. It makes sense with what I'm reading in the Bible. Now, it is distinct from the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. They connect to each other. But everybody agrees over there. I'm going to show you on a Google Earth where they say the Valley of Jehoshaphat is and where they say the Valley of the Son of Hinnom is. And you will start seeing when you get these locations, right, how all these prophecies, how they all make sense, how they all come together. And I'm telling you, when you have this picture in your mind and you can go over to Jerusalem and walk through these valleys and go through these places and just think about all the events that have taken place there and that will take place there, it's very overwhelming. And I'm going to show you a video of me walking through the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And it was a great moment for when I was over there. But hopefully now you're all familiar with the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Now let's look at another prophecy that the Bible talks about that gives very specific locations that for sure has not taken place yet. We're going to go to Zechariah chapter 14. We are going to see pretty soon how these things all intersect with each other. And it's just amazing to me. But it says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Now, doesn't that sound a lot like what we've been reading in Joel? I mean, I think that's a pretty safe connection, right? And it says in verse 4, we're all familiar with this, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. And then jump down to verse 8. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. Okay, so again, I know my preterist friends are not going to like a lot of this stuff, but I am in the futurist camp, and those in the futurist camp, we all agree this is still to come. So we believe that when Jesus Christ comes back to rule from Mount Zion, he is going to step foot on the Mount of Olives, and it's going to split. It is going to move to the north and south, and there is going to be a valley going from the east and the west, and it mentions a former sea and a hinder sea. And so, and there's going to be living waters that are going to come from the house, from that area in Jerusalem. So keep all of these things in mind. Notice how we've been jumping around in all these different books of the Bible, but they're all talking about prophecies from within the same location. And they're giving a lot of specifics on these things. And we believe that these things are still to come. And so we've been in Zechariah, we've been in Joel, we've been in Jeremiah. We see too in these passages, it's talking about a great slaughter that's going to come. There's going to be great judgment. Oh, and we've been in Revelation as well. Now, let me go to one more. And I hope everybody remembers all these things. I hope you've been taking mental notes, because we're going to put this all together, and I am going to give you a visual on Google Earth of where I believe all these things are going to take place. And I'm going to show you how the description that I have, it lines up with what we see in the Bible. So let's go to one more prophecy from Ezekiel in chapter 47 and verse 1. It says, "And afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold," and understand the eastern gate was the main door to the house of the Lord, okay? "And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me down, brought me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits and brought me through the waters." The waters were to the ankles. "He measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. He measured 1,000, brought me through the waters to the loins. And afterward, he measured 1,000. It was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were arisen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were many trees on one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth and moveth whithersoever the river shall come shall live, and there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi even to Engleam, and they shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof and the marshes shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt." And so I'll stop reading right there. And I show you all that to show that in this prophecy in Ezekiel, we've got waters coming from under the threshold of the house of the Lord and going east. And they go east and they heal a sea. Now, can anybody think of a sea in Israel that could use some healing? And I know what you're probably thinking. You're thinking the Dead Sea. And so we see the healing of the Dead Sea that is going to take place. Now, let us go on Google Earth and let's start putting all of this together. So right here we have Jerusalem, okay? So right in this area in the center is where I believe that the temple was. But first thing I want to do, I want to zoom way out. And if we go out to the east, look what body of water is over there, the Dead Sea. And then look, if we go out to the west, to the hinder, we have the Great Sea, or we have what today is known as the Mediterranean Sea. So notice how this geography all fits perfectly. That, and I do, I believe in the future that men are going to cast their nets on the Dead Sea. And those waters will be healed, and it's going to be from water that comes from under the threshold of the house of the Lord. Now, again, some of you think it's over here because you were told that, because Jewish tradition says that, and because it's offensive to go against Jewish tradition. And the same weirdos that want to deny everything the Jews tell us about the 1940s want to believe what they tell us about something 2,000 years ago. These people are just hypocrites and contrarians and have no idea what they're talking about. But let's go back to Google Earth. And so I want to point out some things according to Google Earth. So according to Google Earth, this valley right in here, this is the Valley of Jehoshaphat, or the Kidron Valley. If you look up the Valley of Jehoshaphat right here, so it has Valley of Jehoshaphat. You can see that right there. All of this connects. You have the Kidron Valley. It goes down here and then it curves around. Right there's the Gihon Springs, which happens to be living water. That's what a spring is. And then when you come back in this area, the valley kind of comes over and wraps around here to the left. And this is the Valley of Hinnom. In fact, I'm trying to find the right spot here. Yeah, here we go. Gaben Hinnom is one of the names. I don't know what that means exactly, but they will tell you that this area in here is the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. So again, those who want to appeal to the archaeologist, okay, and act like we are all just crazy and we think we know more than them if we doubt what they say about the Temple Mount and if we doubt what they say about the Church of the Holy Sepulchre or Gordon's Calvary. People don't realize they've got two different tombs or two different Golgothas over there, two different tombs over there. They don't know that, but they will tell you that that area over there is the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. Now, if that's the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, then that has to be where the temple was because the Bible says that it was by the entry of the Eastern Gate. And so again, what people will do to like, if let me get the City of David back up here, or the Google Earth. So what here's today, they only call, a small section of this over here, the City of David, that's been excavated. The thing is though, we don't know the borders. Okay, the borders have changed. So yeah, right here it says City of David. But again, it could have spread out. Who knows how far it would have spread out in that day. In fact, if you look right here in this area, all of this stuff right here, it's very hard to tell how low that goes. But that goes down very deep. And you can walk in there and you can go on this tunnel that takes you out there over here by the Western Wall. That is a pretty cool thing that we did when we were over there. But everything's been built up so much, it's almost impossible to know what the terrain would have looked like back in that day. But either way, a valley is a valley, okay? A mountain is a mountain. And even though it's been built up, and even though this is part of it, what people are doing is like, well, no, the Bible says Mount Moriah. Okay, where are the borders of Mount Moriah? This is all one big mountain. Even if you look in the northern area where I believe is the Roman Fortress Antonia, yeah, fine, that's part of Mount Moriah too. Mountains, they can expand over a lot of area. I'm just here to tell you though that according to the Bible, the Eastern Gate was by the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, and they want you to believe that this over here, right there, hopefully you can see that on the left, that part sticking out there, they want you to believe that that is the Eastern Gate. which is by the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, but they'll tell you, this is the Valley of Jehoshaphat over here. This is the Kidron Valley right here. And then they want you to believe that the Valley of the Son of Hinnom is way back over here. Well, that doesn't work then. That doesn't make any sense. So they're wrong, at least on one of these things. And that's why when you go over there, you have to know what questions to ask. Most people are not going to make these connections. They've not paid that much attention to the geographical things, but there are some people that have. But unfortunately, if you do not follow the things that they tell you to say over there, you will not get a license. You will not be allowed to work in these areas and give certain tours. So they don't know what they're talking about. So here's what I believe. Okay. When I look at this, here's what I picture happening one day. Jesus Christ is going to come back. Over here to the east is the Mount of Olives. Okay. This is the Mount of Olives. Now I have no idea which spot Jesus is going to land on. Okay. A lot of people say, well, all of this area here is cemetery. Okay. Which a lot of it's a Jewish cemetery. Yeah. This is like one of the oldest Jewish cemeteries in the world. It goes back so far. I mean, just look at all of these tombs, all that gray or white that you see there. Those are all tombs. Right over here along this eastern wall, this is a Muslim cemetery. Notice it says cemetery right there. And the reason they say that the reasons the Muslims did that is because the Jews teach that the Messiah is going to go through the eastern gate and that he won't want to walk over all of those dead bodies. So the Jews say that they did that to try to stop the Messiah from coming. Well, personally, if dead bodies could stop Jesus from walking over something, I think he'd just resurrect them. Personally, there's not going to be a problem either way. However, this over here is the Mount of Olives too. Let me get where there is no cemetery. This also is the Mount of Olives. Right here, we kind of have a high point here. What if he stands and splits the mountain here? Again, I don't know. I don't know where the temple was. Okay, I think it was somewhere in this area. I think it was somewhere in proximity to the Gihon Springs. But understand that when that mountain splits, again, the city is going to go part to the north, part to the south, and it's going to connect these two seas. That's what we see in the scriptures. And so I lost my spot on here. But right there, we can see how all those prophecies connect. I think what's going to cause the waters to be healed in the Dead Sea is going to be a result of Jesus splitting the Mount of Olives. And then I also believe that whenever Jesus Christ comes and he lands the Mount of Olives, there's going to be a great battle that's going to take place within this valley outside the old city. Here's that Valley of Jehoshaphat, multitudes in the Valley of Decision, and they're going to be slaughtered throughout all of this area. And guess which way the blood would all end up flowing? It would all end up flowing out this way, right into the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, where Israel did some of their greatest abominations. And I want you to notice over here too, and this is what's funny, because again, everybody wants to pick and choose. Believe in the archaeologists, the people who claim the traditional view, they always act like they're the ones listening to the archaeologists, but yet the archaeologists also have the Pool of Siloam over here. I just saw it a minute ago and I lost it. Let me get it on the screen here. Yeah. So right here is the Pool of Siloam, which they're excavating a bunch of this right now. This Pool of Siloam that you're looking at here, and you can't tell from looking at this. But when the Bible talks about Hezekiah changing the upper water course, Hezekiah's tunnel comes out somewhere around here at the Pool of Siloam, and it goes way. So it starts somewhere over here in the Gihon Spring, and then there's a tunnel going back to Hezekiah's day that comes all the way over to this area. So again, all of this is, it was probably somewhere over in this area. Now, interestingly enough, And I'm going to just throw this in here for bonus, okay? We have a discussion as of the recording of this. It's coming up. I'm probably going to air this after it's been recorded, after this discussion takes place. I'm not real sure yet. But one of the things that I really struggled with when it came to the subject of Babylon is whenever you look at the prophecies about in Revelation about the destruction of Babylon, if it's Jerusalem, it does appear that it's not going to be inhabited anymore. That's what we, that's what you see in the Bible. And so because of that, a lot of people will tell you Jerusalem cannot be Babylon, even though there's so many scriptures that seem to indicate that Jerusalem is Babylon. And the reason, and so I struggled though, because it's like, well, wait a minute, if Jerusalem is destroyed and isn't inhabited anymore, and if Mount Zion is where Jesus is going to rule from, how do you reconcile that? Okay, well, actually you can reconcile it just fine, because they will even tell you this area over here on the left, they'll also tell you this is Mount Zion, okay, or the City of David area. And there's Bible that shows that the City of David is Zion. Okay, so they will tell you that this area in here, they will tell you that that is Zion. Okay, and so the thing is, if Jesus rules over here, and then if the Mount of Olives splits, and I don't know exactly where it's going to be, and some of the city goes to the north, and some of it goes to the south, well, guess what? This area up in here where all the abominations have been taking place for hundreds of years, where the Muslims go to worship, where they're probably going to build the Antichrist temple, where the Christians, they all go in this area back over here. There's, you got the Christian quarters over here. There's tons of idolatry that takes place. I mean, this is some of the most idolatrous stuff you'll see over here in the Christian quarter, back in this part of Jerusalem. Then you got the Muslim quarter over here. You got the Jewish quarter over here. Or no, the Armenian quarter here, and then you got the Jewish quarter here. Like, so when you hear about stuff in Jerusalem today, it's mainly all in this area. This is where all the religious abominations take place. Over back in this area, again, still more in the northern area, this is where all the political abominations are taking place. Okay, just notice coincidentally how everything bad in government over here, religion over here, it's all kind of more on the northern side. It's all more north of the City of David, north of Mount Zion. Notice all that. And so the reality is that the area where we believe the temple was, that's all more just kind of residential. And I believe that's where Jesus is going to rule from. But then we're going to have that division that's going to take place in the City of Water. And I believe that northern area is going to be the part that's just going to be completely desolate, completely wiped out, completely uninhabited. I believe that's all going to be in that northern part where all the religious junk has been going on for centuries. That's how I think it's going to play out. Okay, that these are my opinions based on me just putting these different prophecies together. And again, you can even throw out the Babylon stuff. Here's what we know for sure. There is going to be a great battle in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. We know that there is going to be a great slaughter in the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. We know those valleys are connected together. We know that they are outside Jerusalem. We have no reference to the Valley of Jehoshaphat being anywhere near the Eastern Gate, but we have a direct reference telling us the Valley of the Son of Hinnom is right outside the Eastern Gate. We know that the Mount of Olives is going to split in two. We know that water is going to come from the threshold of the house of the Lord. And folks, wouldn't it just kind of make sense that this Gihon Springs that has been referred to, this place where everything just kind of started, like right here. Notice Gihon Spring right here in this area. I mean, wouldn't it kind of make sense that right in here would be where it would split? That be where the water comes from? Does it have to be that way? No, of course. I mean, Jesus can make a brand new supernatural spring if he wants. He made water come from a rock in the wilderness. Does he have to have the Gihon Springs? No, he does not have to have the Gihon Springs. I mean, it just makes sense that he would. All I'm saying is when you get the right location in your mind about the temple, just everything that you look at and you visually observe there, it all just seems to line up and make sense. And I know it's very hard to get a good picture in your mind of these things from looking at Google Earth images. But let me go ahead right now, and I want to show you a video that I took of me and Brother Paul walking through this Valley of Jehoshaphat. So this part that we're walking through right here, this would be, according to Google Earth, we're kind of in the Kidron Valley section. The Valley of Jehoshaphat, it would be kind of behind us. I've got another video I should have showed you first where we've got a sign showing what's called today the Cave of Jehoshaphat. It's right behind where we are. And so right down there in that valley, once you go around the corner there to the right, that's where you would have the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. And so just imagine, you know, my thrill as I'm kind of walking through this area. Okay, right there, that is known as the Tomb of Zechariah. And over to the left of it is where there's a cave it's called the Cave of Jehoshaphat. So, I mean, these are pretty cool structures. This particular Tomb of Zechariah here, this would have been visible even in the days of Christ. So just kind of a neat thing to think about. But it was just very neat for me walking down in that valley and just thinking about and imagining Jesus Christ returning in the clouds. I'm looking up above the Mount of Olives there to the up into the east and just picturing Jesus coming back riding on a white horse. I'm picturing me up there with him. And as I'm down there, you know, thinking about that, I'm like, man, I'm definitely glad I'm going to be topside when all of this goes down and not down here a sitting duck in this valley. But in this valley is where there are going to be multitudes. They're going to be slaughtered. Blood is going to flow to the horses' bridles. And so all of this here is just kind of walking through the caves and things, just very amazing. But boy, just fun stuff to think about. And whenever you do, when you go to these places and you start visualizing all the things that the Bible describes, what ends up happening is you go back and you read your Bible and you kind of start noticing details that it mentions. It'll mention details about directions. It'll mention hills. It'll mention valleys. And now it's not just words anymore. You're actually thinking about places in your head. And it really is just kind of an overwhelming thing. Right here is another video I took. This would have been within the Valley of Jehoshaphat part, and that's the Eastern Gate up there. And I took this video just to kind of show perspective. You can really tell how high that city has been built and just showing there is no way to know what the terrain would have looked like in that day. Here's another video where that's known as Absalom's Pillar. Even though it doesn't have anything to do with Absalom, it's kind of a second temple period structure. This is also in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, right outside Jerusalem. And I like to rub this in because Brother Paul, he wasn't really that interested in going to this place. I kept saying, we have to go walk to the Kidron Valley. I said, we have to do that. And I wanted to do it. I didn't know how cool it was going to be, just visually speaking. I mainly wanted to do it just because of all the things that I believe were going to take place in that valley one of these days. And after we did it, Brother Paul loved it. Got some really cool shots, and I didn't show it on the one video. I don't know if it'll pick up where I left off. I don't know if this is the right video or not, but I have a video where you kind of walk around a bend in that valley. And then there's just kind of this high point there that I just picture that's probably where the temple was. I don't know it, but that's what I picture. And so I just show you all that to show all these prophecies that intersect in Zechariah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Revelation, Joel. What do they all have in common? These things are all happening outside of Jerusalem, in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, into the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. And one final thing on the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. Okay. This here is bonus. I just want to throw this at you because now we're going outside Bible. Okay. We're going to go outside Bible now, But I want to address this for those of you, if you ever hear this argument about Gehenna not being about hell as we think of, but what they whenever people go to the Bible and it talks about, you know, hellfire, where the fire worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Let's see, well, that's talking about Gehenna. And here's what they'll tell you. What you have to understand about Gehenna is it was a place outside of Jerusalem, and they'll tell you in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Over there, you can find all kinds of videos of people over here somewhere in this valley, in this area, in the valley of the son of Hinnom. And they will tell you that it was an area where they burn garbage all the time. And so they will tell you that it was like symbolic of hell. And so some will say that's literally what hell was to them. And others will write, they will say something more along the line, if they believe in hell, they'll say that it was symbolic of hell. Say, well, what's your position, Pastor Tommy? I do think it was symbolic of hell. I think it makes perfect sense. And I want to read something to you. Very interesting. This is, again, this is not Bible. This is history, because I do think there's credible history that shows that they refer to that place as Gehenna. And if they want to say there was a dump there and there was burning there all the time, I don't have a problem with that. And even if they prove that to be 100% true, it does not mess with my doctrine on hell at all. In fact, I think it makes perfect sense, because I'm not going to go into it in this podcast, but there is a ton of evidence that when it comes to the temple, that many of the things about the temple were symbolic of heaven and earth. And let me read this to you. This is from Josephus, and it says, "Now here one may wonder at the ill which men bear to us, and which they profess to bear on account of our despising that deity which they pretend to honor. For if anyone do but consider the fabric of the tabernacle, and take a view of the garments of the high priest and of those vessels which we may use of in our sacred ministration, he will find that our legislator was a divine man, and that we are unjustly reproached by others. For if anyone do without prejudice and with judgment look upon these things, he will find they were every one made in a way of imitation and representation of the universe. When Moses distinguished the tabernacle into three parts and allowed two of them to be the priests as a place accessible and common, he denoted the land and the sea, these being of general access to all, but he set apart the third division for God, because the heaven is inaccessible to men. And when he ordered 12 loaves to be set on the table, he denoted the year as distinguished in so many months. By branching out the candlestick into 70 parts, he secretly intimated the decani, or seven divisions of the planets. And as to the seven lamps upon the candlesticks, they refer to the course of the planets, of which is the number. The veils too, which were composed of four things, they declared the four elements. For the fine linen were proper to signify the earth, because the flax grows out of the earth. The purple signified the sea, because that color is dyed by the blood of a seashell fish. The blue is fit to signify the air, and the scarlet will naturally be an indication of fire. Now the vestment of the high priest, being made of linen, signified the earth. The blue denoted the sky, being the lightning in his pomegranates, and the noise of the bells resembling thunder. And for the ephod, it shows that God had made universe of four elements. And as for the gold interwoven, I suppose it related to the splendor by which all things are enlightened." So according to Josephus, the temple represented, the Holy of Holies would have represented heaven, only accessible by the priest. And then you had the holy place, which was with also within the temple building, that only the priests were allowed to go into. Now, often in the Bible, when it talks about them going into the temple, it's not referring to the actual building, but the temple complex, which would have been outside of the actual building. So let me illustrate it to you this way. Okay, so let's just go ahead and for right now, suppose that this was in fact the Temple Mount. And so even today, this entire section up here that's walled off is all referred to as Al-Aqsa compound, right? It's all referred to as Al-Aqsa. But the Al-Aqsa Mosque is actually right in here. So let's suppose the temple was right here, and this area out around it is the, like this outside area. So only the priest could go into the actual building. But then let's say you came in through the Eastern Gate here, all the Jews could come within these walls. Okay, now Gentiles could not come within these walls. But Jesus, when he came in, let's say this was the Eastern Gate he rode in on, he rode through here, and he was in, and so this was considered in the temple, even though he wasn't in the actual building. There's no evidence that Jesus ever went inside of the temple building, but or let's say it this way, into the holy place. Okay, you have the holy place, and then the most holy place, or the holy of holies. But even that outside area that was exposed to the elements, that was also considered within the temple. And so that would have represented land. And then you had the washing areas that the Bible literally refers to as the seas. It talks about the molten sea. They had, and so according to Josephus, all of those things, the things within inside the temple represented heaven. The holy place represented earth. And so it kind of makes sense that if the temple, okay, let's just say if the temple area represented heaven and earth, okay, and let's go over to where I think it was. So again, somewhere out here in this elevated area, we've got the temple built up high, and that represents heaven and earth. It would kind of make sense that down here, low in the low part of the valley, where they're burning stuff all the time, that that would be symbolic of hell. So again, even if they did have a place that they kind of referred to as Gehenna back then that was symbolic of hell, doesn't mean it's not literal. It's just like, hey, this is the illustration. Just as the holy place or the Holy of Holies, that was not the literal heaven. But they often spoke of the holy place as being the mercy seat where the presence of God would come. And so it was compared to the heaven where God sits. Even though it wasn't literally heaven. Okay. So I think there's a lot of credibility to that. And I think there's a lot of credibility to the Valley of the Son of Hinnom being a place that represented hell back in that day. It would have been very fitting. And it's just consistent with a lot of stuff that we see in the Bible. But I just show you all that to just show how all of these things they do, they connect perfectly. And if you get anything out of this, just here's a fact. The Eastern Gate was by the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. If you believe the official narrative that this is where the temple was and that this is the Eastern Gate, just understand that you must say that this is the Valley of the Son of Hinnom that they call the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And guess what? You are now opposed to all the archaeologists out there when you do that. So just admit it. Say, I believe that this is where the temple was, and I believe outside the Eastern Gate here, I believe this was the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. You will be very lonely in that opinion, but at least you will be consistent. And, you know, and again, people who are like, this is where the temple was, well, notice too, the Eastern Gate, a lot of people think the temple should actually be over here because it's directly behind the Eastern Gate. But, you know, here's what they just don't understand. That's not the Eastern Gate. That is an Eastern Gate. That's a, and but that particular gate, I think they said that actual one was built in 1500s, maybe. I think it's like Byzantine period. That gate wasn't even there in Jesus' day. When they say, well, it's below it. Maybe, maybe. But either way, it looks an awful lot like a Roman gate. So, or a Roman wall. So anyway, just a way to talk more about the geographical stuff. Show footage from when I was in Israel. I enjoy doing that at any chance I get. But also to teaching you about some future prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled. There is a lot of judgment coming for Jerusalem. God's wrath is on them to the uttermost. Has the end come yet? No, we're still here. The end has not come yet. We are still waiting for these particular prophecies to take place. And I believe they're going to. I believe the blood is going to flow that day. I believe I walked through the area where the blood is going to flow. And it was pretty cool. And I did. I liked thinking about from the bottom side what was going to be taking place up in the sky. It was fun to think about. But I'm really excited when it finally is fulfilled and when it finally goes down. I am not going to be in that area. I'm going to be up in the clouds with Jesus Christ, watching him do all the work. And he knows where the temple was. He knows where he's going to rule and reign from. I don't know for sure. And, but at the same time, I like to think about it. I'm very interested in it because I do. I believe the Bible is I believe it's that real. I mean, I believe when I am reading the stories in the Bible of biblical events, I do. I believe that, I mean, these things literally took place somewhere in this area. And you know what? If I found out the temple was over here, I mean, well, hey, that's cool. There was a temple somewhere around here, but you know, I like to me, it makes more sense that if it was over here, I believe that somewhere in this valley, I don't know where exactly, they used to offer their children a Molech, which was horrible. I believe somewhere in this valley, there's going to be a great slaughter one of these days. Blood's going to flow to the horse's bridle. And somewhere up here in the sky out here, Jesus is going to come flying in. Somewhere around here, he's going to step on the Mount of Olives and he is going to split it. And we're going to see a valley that is going to cross from the Mediterranean to the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea will no longer be dead. It will be filled with water. People will cast their nets on the Dead Sea. And if people want to argue about exactly where these things take place, hey, that's fine with me. As long as you believe these things are going to take place, as long as you believe these events did take place somewhere, that is important. And it's something that it's fun to just geek out and nerd out on. And so I hope that you enjoyed that. It sparked your interest in these things a little bit more. And hopefully, too, you have an image in your mind whenever you see that valley of the son of Hinnom. Think about that. It is some of the most horrible things that ever happened in Israel's history was right there, right outside the house of the Lord. And just, boy, it's so understandable why God got so angry. When you read Revelation 14 and when you read Revelation 19 and you see all this bloodshed that's going to take place during that time, just under, you know, and a lot of times, like, man, that seems kind of harsh. But when you look at all that has taken place in that area throughout history, it's not too harsh. You know what it is? It's just. It's right. Say, well, I don't like it. Well, then you know what? Get saved. Well, I don't want that to happen to other people. Well, then get them saved. Okay? And we can protect them. They can be delivered from the wrath to come. And that's what we are here to do in the meantime. And hopefully this just brought a little more reality to the things that are coming. That's why we like talking about prophecy in this program, because we believe in the things that God said are going to pass. We believe they are going to happen just as much as we believe the things the Bible says already happened, took place. I believe the future that the Bible prophesies of is just as sure as the history that the Bible describes. And I like to think that I might live to see some of these things. And even if I don't, I'll get to see the event that we were talking about today. I will get to see it from Earth, slightly elevated, but I'm going to get to see it. And if you're saved, so will you. So I hope this was a blessing and encouragement to you. Thank you for watching. God bless. We'll see y'all next time.